Good morning. Good morning and welcome to one and all, whether you are alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic, or you are nursing your second cup of coffee, hoping not to let those words inside your head float out your mouth. Welcome home, dear church family. We are so honored to be able to spend this morning together as we fellowship and worship Jesus. As we worship side by side, may we also leave this place today with a piece of Christ inside of us. To begin our worship today, we will be singing a hymn from Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 8, Somos Pueblo que Camina.
And we'll sing verse 1 in Spanish, then we'll sing verse 1 and 2 in English. So Spanish, verse 1, and then 1 and 2 in English.
For our call to worship this morning, we will be using the blue hymnal. We'll be at number 757. And then after we're done with the call to worship, keep your blue hymnal because our next song will be from there as well. And when you find it, let's all read together. Savior God, through your grace, we hold a treasure in earthen vessels. The living presence of Jesus Christ. Let us bear your good news with joy till grace overflows in the earth and salvation comes to all. For yours is the power and yours is the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Number 46. And if you can stand, I think it would be a good song to stand.
I sing the way.
In the back of the hymnal, there's a pocket, and in the pocket, the song, Something Which Is Known. We're going to sing that one. If there are many songs in that pocket, just kind of flip through till you find this one. It's got a front and back side. If it's not in your hymnal, look in the one next to it.
As we come to this time of confession, church, I ask that we all take a deep, centering breath. God, you are the potter, and we are the clay. But couldn't you have molded us in some other way? Take a little off here, add a little more there. Yet how pretentious of us to assume, dear potter, that you have made a mistake. We confess that at times we are disappointed with our end result, but when making us, couldn't you have asked for a consult? Our cracks provide an opening for you, the light within, to shine out. The glory of God covers every fear, every disappointment, and every doubt. May we see your work in us as the divine piece of art that it is. And sisters and brothers, as we hear the words of assurance as well, please stand as you are able in mind, body, or spirit and hear these words. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us and forgives us our sins, Let us share Christ's peace with the world and also each other by greeting each other and saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
"And also with you."
Amen. All right, and now the children may come forward to hear from Ellen Morey, who has a special time for them.
Good morning. How are all of you? All right, let's start by passing this around. Who has people in your family? Everybody, right? Do you have favorite people in your family? You don't have to say who they are. Just think of them. Especially don't tell me who this is. Do you have least favorite people in your family? No? That's good. I'm glad you don't have least favorite people. But out of all the people in the world, there's adult sort of group people into groups. And lots of adults have least favorite groups of people. And some of those adults have a group called very important people. Can you think of who some very important people might be? A lot of people say people who run the government are very important, or sports stars might be very important. There's even a shortening of it called VIP, very important people. But you know what? They're all just people who were born to a family. They eat food. There's a saying, they all put on their pants one leg at a time. And Jesus said that whoever people think about as the least person, that is actually Jesus. That's kind of a mystery, that people you see every day might actually be Jesus, right? But a lot of those groups of people that adults group people into are people that when people who think of themselves are very important walk past some of these people, they don't even think about them as persons. Their brain registers them, interprets them as things. And that, according to what Jesus said, that Jesus is those people, that is not okay. So next time you're walking down the street and you see somebody with your parents that maybe looks different, maybe think about how they are a person like Jesus. And how does this end? Do we just say goodbye?
You would end close with a prayer. Oh. So you could invite us to prayer.
All right, let's pray together. Dear God in heaven, please open our eyes and our hearts to see people as people and not as things or less important. Amen.
This morning, our first scripture passage comes from Isaiah 64:8. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand.
Ahora pues, Jehová, tú eres nuestro padre, nosotros barro, y tú el que nos formaste. Así que obra de tus manos somos todos nosotros.
And from 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Porque no nos predicamos a nosotros mismos, sino a Jesucristo como Señor, y a nosotros como vuestros siervos por amor de Jesús. Porque Dios, que mandó que de las tinieblas resplandeciese la luz, es el que resplandeció en nuestros corazones, para iluminación del conocimiento de la gloria de Dios en la faz de Jesucristo.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that it may be made clear to us, extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
Pero tenemos este tesoro en vasos de barro para que la excelencia del poder sea de Dios y no de nosotros.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. This morning our message comes from Kathy Keim-Kirschner. She is an AMBS graduate and has been a part of this community for over 20 years. She lives within this community and works at Barger Packaging and pastored as well for a short while in Liberal, Kansas, and is endowed with a great blessing of being able to work incredibly well with children. We are excited to hear from you.
Thank you.
Dear God, who is the potter who molds us and shapes us in many wonderful and special ways, be with us each individually as we hear from Kathy this message that you have laid on her heart. Help us to be open and receptive to it and allow her strength and calm as she delivers it to us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Alan and Avi, for that children's time, and happy birthday, Naomi. It is such a blessing to see all of you this morning. Do you feel beloved? Because the scriptures tell us that we are created by God. From the scriptures that Scott and Artie just read, we are all the work of God's hand, carrying treasure, that is the knowledge of God in the face of Christ Jesus, in earthen jars, in ordinary bodies. Do we feel ordinary today? Or do we feel beloved? Because it's okay to be ordinary if you feel beloved. Some years ago, there was a song about ordinary people, and it went like this. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people, people who are willing to do as he commands, because little becomes much when it's put into the master's hand. It's easy to think of us as just everyday ordinary people. It's easy to get lost in the rhythm of everyday life, perhaps to feel that God has no special plan for us. After all, we're just ordinary people. Funny though, because we can open our Bible almost at random and run into ordinary people being used for extraordinary purposes in his plan. It's almost human nature to think, how can God use me? I'm afraid. I'm imperfect. I'm physically challenged. I'm nothing special. Ben told us a few weeks ago about a man named Jonah, a prophet. When God told Jonah to preach to the people of that evil city, Nineveh, he was afraid, and he booked a passage on a ship going in the opposite direction. It took 3 days in the belly of a whale and a miraculous rescue to renew his courage and fortify his resolve. And when Jonah preached, we are told the whole city repented and was saved. Martin Luther was a man who was afraid. He was plagued by the fear that he was not good enough for God. Does that sound familiar? He feared that he would disappoint his parents and lose his friends if he spoke out against the church's apostasy. He was afraid that he would end up alone. But when he nailed those treatises to the Wittenberg door, he changed the church forever, because God uses frightened, ordinary people in spite of our fears. Perhaps the most difficult idea for me to grasp is that God uses us in our imperfection and sinfulness to accomplish his work. I am so imperfect, and I feel so unequal to the task. Ironically enough, the Bible is a great collection of people with shortcomings, failures, and imperfections who were used by God in powerful ways. Moses killed a man. Abraham tried to pass his wife off as his sister. David committed both adultery and murder. These are not perfect people who figure predominantly in our salvation history. The same Peter who denied Christ would later become the rock on which Jesus built his church. And Saul, who persecuted the Christians, would become Paul, the great missionary and church planter. Several years ago, I had a friend named Steve who battled sexual addiction. He prayed, went to church, sought spiritual and emotional counsel, and worked his 12-step program. Still he failed. Still he fell. One day he told me this story. One Sunday he was sitting in church feeling like scum, his words, because he had failed the night before. An elder who he greatly respected shared during the service that her son was in a terrible accident. The doctor said he would never walk again. Steve was filled with sadness, but as he sat there, a voice came to him, instructing him to tell that elder that her son would walk again. Steve battled to ignore the voice because, as we often do when it sounds like God's talking to us, we don't believe it's really God. After all, why would God be talking with us? The voice would not go away, and after church, Steve found the courage to tell the elder the message. She, by the way, believed it immediately and was filled with gladness at the word. And it was to be that the elder's son would indeed walk again, although the medical community could not explain it. Why, Steve asked me, did God give someone like me that message when he had a whole church full of good people that he could have used? Well, I'm not wise enough to answer that, but I suspect that it has something to do with God's ultimate graciousness and the eternally perplexing but beautiful paradox that although we are unacceptable, we have found acceptance. In our imperfection and sinfulness, we are unconditionally loved and accepted. God's grace makes us good enough. We are beloved. God uses ordinary, imperfect people to do his work. In Bible times, society often levied a kind of second-class citizenship upon certain people, notably people with illness or physical challenges. That is unfortunately also true today. How easy it would be for those of us with physical ailment or age-related challenges to feel like we could not be of any significant value or use to God's plan. But look in the Bible and we find Moses, the man with the speech impediment, chosen to be God's spokesman to Pharaoh and the children of Israel. And then there's Paul with the mobility issues, his thorn in the flesh, who traveled the empire planting churches. And how could we forget the paraplegic, the man born blind, and the leper, all delivering powerful message of God's divine sonship. As for today, I have just two words, Ross Ringenberg. What an extraordinary, ordinary person. What a channel of God's love and grace and faithfulness. What a God magnet in bringing others to the love, healing, and salvation of God. God most certainly uses people with physical challenges for his work. It's also easy to think of ourselves as nothing special. Society is so good at that, valuing fame and power and money and physical prowess. The Bible tells us otherwise. God chose Mary and Joseph to love and nurture his son. They were ordinary people. Mother Teresa was an ordinary person, a simple sister who followed the voice of God. She founded the Sisters of Charity, who minister still today to the poorest of the poor in India, and accepted the Nobel Peace Prize in the name of the poor. She was an ordinary person with an important place in God's plan. And children, I have no intention of leaving you out. You have an important place in God's plan. In the Bible is the story of David, who brought down the giant Goliath because he believed in God with all his heart. Samuel was really young when he had a message from God, and the young boy who shared his lunch with Jesus helped him feed 5,000 people. I want to share with you this morning the story of my friend Jamal. Jamal showed up at my doorstep about 2.5 years ago. He came with his friend Derek. I suspect that they came because they knew the five sisters next door to me, Anaya, Nevaeh, Kamari, Tiana, and Liliana, and also because they knew that I sometimes gave out snacks. It was a hot day, and they were in need of some cold water and popsicles, which I provided. After that, Derek came once or twice a week, Jamal almost every day. He would show up several times a week, often with a friend in tow. One week, I remember, he showed up 5 days in a row with five different friends. Often he would show up alone in search of a snack or just to talk, or anxious to see if he could make a craft for someone or if I had something that would be useful as a gift. I was later to learn that what he asked for was often for someone else. He had an amazing, contagious grin. He loved people and life. He couldn't wait to share about what was happening with him or what would happen. And he didn't do this just with me. He did it with everybody in the neighborhood. He walked and biked and skated everywhere. He was a fixture at Roosevelt School, Tolson Center, Nicole's Red Oak Farm, One Stop, and Lifeline. He loved his family and he loved God. One Sunday, he walked 12 blocks in the pouring rain to Prairie Street. He showed up in the middle of service looking like a soaked cat, and he refused to sit down because he didn't want to get the pew wet. To say that Jamal loved food would be an understatement. He loved the carry-ins and often took a plate home for his four sisters and brothers and for Mom. He never forgot Mom. One Sunday, 2-year-old Adriana grabbed onto Jamal's hand at the beginning of Sunday school and never let go. And Jamal let her, being big brother to her until she left that day. Jamal had a huge heart. On Thursday night, June 22nd, Jamal came by excitedly to tell me that he was going swimming the next day. He left with 2 bags of his favorite treat, honey mustard pretzels, and snacks for lunch for his sister Jaleesa and himself. The next day, I was watching the 5 o'clock news when I realized in horror that Jamal had drowned while swimming with the Lifeline group at Ideal Beach. Last week, I was blessed to be with about 200 other people at Canaan Baptist Church for Jamal's funeral, a group of all races, ages, economic levels, beliefs, backgrounds and languages, because that's who Jamal was. He wasn't interested in appearances. He just loved people. And listening to the stories that day, I realized the tremendous impact a 10-year-old boy could have in the world, in the community. Powerful. At the end of the service, there was an invitation to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and someone accepted that invitation. So you see, children, even someone young can bring people to Jesus. You are important. Jamal was not perfect. He was a 10-year-old boy. He occasionally had trouble keeping his hands off other people's stuff, and he always forgot to close the gate. Jamal was not an angel, but he is one now. And isn't that what God is all about? Choosing ordinary, imperfect people to do his work. And isn't that what Jesus is all about? Coming into the world to save ordinary, imperfect people. I like to picture Jamal arriving in heaven and flashing that amazing grin and saying, "Hey, I know you." Because at the gate is Alan Kreider to welcome him in, and Ralph Ringenberg is running to hug him. Two ordinary people of ours with extraordinary love and kindness and faithfulness. Jesus often used ordinary things from his society to illustrate when he shared. I hope you don't mind if I do the same this morning. Ordinary things like, water, a glass of water, colorless, tasteless, odorless, free mostly, giving life, nourishing, restoring energy, necessary for every living thing. We drink it, bathe in it, splash in it. We awe at its beauty at sunset. This church of ordinary people is like water. The people here provide nourishment through CCS and community meals. They sew quilts and school and hygiene kits. And they pray. God bless the prayer stream and all of you who pray. I have been on the receiving end of those prayers, and people who have never come through the doors of this church have been on the receiving ends of your prayers, and they work. You save lives, you give life. You are a vital part of God's plan. An ordinary piece of paper, open to thoughts and dreams, avenue of creativity and creation, communicating life-giving information, bendable, flexible, receptive. The ordinary people of this congregation are like a piece of paper. They create beauty for the whole community. They teach, they nurture, they invite people in. They share the word of God. They put signs in their yards. They text, they email, they phone, they send cards to celebrate and appreciate and affirm. You are an important part of God's plan. A Kleenex. Soft, fragrant, available. A channel of relief when it's hard to breathe. A tool for emotional or physical injury. A conduit of compassion. The ordinary people in this building today are like a Kleenex. They dry tears, they visit, they provide places for memorials, they cook meals, hold hands, cry with. They provide shelter for the brokenhearted, for healing. You are an essential part of God's plan. We are ordinary people here. We may be little, but we are mighty, because little becomes much when it's put into the Master's hand. We are ordinary people here, but it's okay to be ordinary if we feel beloved. Do you feel beloved today? Amen.
In the purple, sing the story, number 49. Number 49.